All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are okay. I'm back in the UK and and it's been a fun sort of couple of weeks in the world of Oasis. They haven't got back together. No one ended up in prison or anything while I was away, unable to record. But it has been a busy old couple of weeks with Noel Gallagher back in the UK playing live. Liam has come back and played a live show. There is a Liam Gallagher album out, which did you even realise? But yes, there is. Live at Nebworth 22 is out right now. And and I catch up with a couple of very good friends. Richard and Katie also jumped on as well. And we did a call a little bit earlier today. I'm recording this on Friday night. The 11th of August 2023. And so, yes, it was a really good fun chat. We'll be dropping that in a bit. Plus, also, it has been a busy old time for voice messages. We've had quite a few voice messages in over the last couple of weeks. People letting me know about their visits to go and watch Noel play. We've got some new music. So, yeah, lots of lovely messages to come. But first off, let's jump over to me and Richard, then to be joined by Katie. Plus, also, we had Steph lurking in the background as well. It will all make sense, trust me. All right, welcome back to the Oasis Podcast. Richard, how you doing, man?
What's going on? How we doing? All right?
I'm all right, yeah. I've been sort of out and about and away, and it's been sort of my pre-recorded talking through the Oasis ranking episodes that have been gone out. But thankfully, Oasis didn't get back together while I was away or no one got arrested or anything like that. So it's been busy but relatively quiet. So it's been, I was away but not really massively away, but whereas you've been busy. You've been at how many gigs you've done in the last month?
Like, I don't fucking know. Last month,
well, I suppose you had, well, have we talked about you going to Glastonbury as well?
No. So yes, well, yeah, actually thinking about it, last time we spoke was just after Arctic Monkeys, wasn't it? So end of May.
Yeah.
Glastonbury, Idols and Jamie T, Pulp, Blur at Pulp at Finsbury Park, Blur at Wembley, The Who, then Noel at Crystal Palace, Blur at Hammersmith Apollo, and Pulp at Hammersmith Apollo, and obviously Liam at Hammersmith Apollo. Hammersmith Apollo, fucking Coco. So yeah, I've been living the Britpop dream.
Yeah, the summer of Britpop, as they say. That is,
as I keep explaining to my wife, this is a moment in time. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, disregarding Liam and Noel, you know, when was the last time Pulp and Blur toured at the same time? It's just, I was thought, you know, Pulp haven't toured for what, 12 years. I haven't seen Blur since 2009. Obviously, they've had a couple of comebacks. So it's like, well, it's just a moment in time, you know.
It's got to be done.
It's already brought up in the Britpop Wars. It's got to be done, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say before we got onto the live stuff, the one thing unrelated, I suppose, to Liam and Noel, but the Blur album, I think, is really special. It's sort of, because when I think we might have talked about it, but when I first heard The Narcissist, I sort of thought, what's the point of Blur now in this sort of modern period when we've got so much stuff has come from Damon, whether it's Gorillaz or whether it's, you know, the other projects he's done. And I sort of felt like, what's the point of Blur? It's just basically you've got a Graham backing vocal on a Damon Albarn track, you know, and it's sort of, I sort of thought it's a bit pointless, you know. And but then actually having heard that
you realize
album,
they're one of the greatest bands of all time.
Well, yeah, there is that. And yeah, and that album, it was so surprising to me, because having heard, obviously Narcissist is quite a chill track, but then St. Charles Square is quite upbeat, and it's got that squally guitars, and it's sort of a bit raucous and a bit off kilter, in that kind of Blur album way, like, you know, the song Two album. So it's got that feel to it. But then that the rest of the Ballad of Darren is really chill and quite sad and reflective, but it's sort of, it's like sad in that sort of I'm struggling but I'll get through kind of way, that then sort of more reflects like the 13 album, like, what, you know, his sort of breakup album with Tender and No Distance Left to Run on it. I thought so. I was taken aback by it. It wasn't what I was expecting from a Blur comeback album. It felt like this is Damon's sort of set of songs he was working on, because he was in a bit of a funny place, and Blur have done their stuff on it, and it was like, yeah, it's really special. But it's just been on rotation, to be honest. So yeah, so while I've listened to the Noel album quite a few times, and Liam Nebworth I haven't listened to yet, although it only came out today, actually out of the three, it's that Blur album that's been on rotation for me. Absolutely. I fell in love with you. I met you at an early show. You fall in. I fall along with you. Travel around the world together.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's similar with Noel, isn't it? Damon, as we understand it, has broken up with his long-term partner. There's that, what he said in the promo, is that there's obviously that. There's been obviously a lot of people around that died, you know, over the last few years. You've had, you know, Terry Hall, Tony Allen, whoever, you know, knows in his kind of his personal life, they can have got these two of his like close confidants. And yeah, there's something quite heartwarming about the fact that he's kind of felt that low. This is a low. He's felt the kind of low of, you know, sadness, whatever, and he's kind of reached out to his mates. You know what I mean? Reached out to his oldest friends who kind of rallied around him, because, yeah, Graham, I think, said he struggled massively to kind of work himself into the album, and kind of, because it's very, it's very interesting, quite mellow. It's, very, very slow paced, very slow paced, actually, which takes a while to get used to and a while to kind of get stuck into it and actually appreciate the beauty of it. But, things Blur have never been the same, have they? Do you know what I mean? So it's not a surprise. Well, since 95, they haven't really done the same album twice. So it's not really a surprise it's so different. It's just, this is not, like the Magic Whip, for example. Well, the Magic Whip had quite a lot of rock stuff on it, but it also had quite a lot of slower paced songs like Pyongyang and New World Towers and stuff like that. So it was, you can see it's kind of building up. Admittedly, that came about in a different way, but, you know, as Damon's kind of said, he's got the press thing. He's quite a sad person. Do you know what I mean? He's quite a melancholy person, and he's always good for a ballad. And we just got an album of, well, I mean, it's obviously literally in the title, but we've got an album of probably, I'd say, six ballads.
I thought it was interesting as well, especially there's probably about three tracks in it that really had vibes of the recent Arctic Monkeys stuff, actually. And that sort of, I don't necessarily think he was copying or inspired by its Monkeys, and they probably both come from a like similar points of inspiration. And there's a lot of Bowie in there. I know there's a track that's sort of dedicated to Leonard Cohen. It's a bit Leonard Cohen in there. But I think that the difference with the Arctic Monkeys stuff, that's always a bit more arch and it's always clever and knowing, whereas this is just heartfelt. This is just beautiful, I thought. So I'm definitely flicking over to the Blur side. Sorry, guys.
Well, fun facts. Damon did say he realised Alex Turner's voice. He said that in the press recently. So he's been quite a big fan. And also, the album, The Ballad of Darren, was produced by the same guy who's done all the Arctic Monkeys albums by the first one. Wow. So there's and he's done loads of other stuff. Like, he's done stuff with like Florence the Machine and lots of Gorillaz as well, I think. Lots of others. So there might be that kind of, I mean, I doubt he would have had much control when you're working with Damon Albarn. I don't think you get much creative control, yeah. But that might kind of those two kind of factors combined, like I say, Damon being a fan of Alex Turner's work might have informed it. You never know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a pet theory that Alex Turner's the only person who's ever said no to Gorillaz, because Damon outs himself as a fan, and I imagine, as he's done with every single other person under the sun that you could think of when it comes to like Gorillaz collaborations, or indeed like Africa Express as well. But I've got a theory that Alex Turner just hasn't returned his calls.
Interesting. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, he would make sense, wouldn't he?
He's probably the only person. Alex Turner doesn't collaborate with people that aren't his friends.
No. He's only ever really done the Miles Kane stuff, hasn't he? And
he's in mini mansions as well with a bunch of guys who are now in the Arctic Monkeys live band.
Is it?
Oh, and a bit of Queens of Stone Age stuff. But again, Josh Homme's mate. Like, there's nothing. I can't think of much outside of that at all.
No. So, and well, before we get into your live gigs, Richard, so there is a Liam Gallagher album out today, which I'll be honest, I completely forgot about. The Liam at Nebworth album comes out, which feels a bit sort of redundant, seeing as we had the live video, like the film. I know the film didn't have all of the set. So obviously we've now got proper versions of all the Oasis songs and things like that, which is good.
But not all of them.
Not all of them, is it not?
No, it's, I think, what was it, Nebworth? I think it was 21 tunes and this one 16. I think there's a couple of like versions of the album you can get additional tracks, but it's not a complete nights. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that was quite... I mean, I understand he's got to get some product out, you know, got to get some sales, but he's so rubbish at actually selling. They sort of said, oh, this Coco gig is to promote the Nebworth live, and he's done no posts on social media about it. Obviously, that like his Instagram is run by the record label, isn't it? So his Instagram has talked about it, and then there's been no nothing on his Twitter or X. He's just disappeared on that front. And so and he didn't even mention it live, apparently, and he's not even, and there was a bit of merch or whatever, but it just feels like completely just knock that out and not even talk about it.
Well, there's two constraints to this. One is the most oblique bit of promotion I can ever think of, and I fucking love it. So at the end of Champagne Supernova on the Nebworth album, he says, not necessarily stoned, but beautiful, as in, well, you are, we're getting high, not necessarily stoned, but beautiful, which Hendrix says at the end of Are You Experienced? Have you ever been experienced? Silly stone, but beautiful. So, I'm here for that. Oh, and obviously, he played that Coco the other night. So, I'm here for that kind of big stuff. Secondly, today, I don't know if you've been paying attention today, but he was at the pop-up store, the Coco pop-up store in Camden, which was open on Wednesday, to sign some brown paper bags today. And there's been a bit like there's a new line of Adidas Spezial that come out today as well. So, there's been a bit of a blitz today about it. Yeah, and Liam himself hasn't even been very quiet. So, I think... Yeah, they ramped things up today. But yeah, up to now, it hadn't really been promoted at all.
No. There's been no media. There's been that one gig in Coco where he didn't even mention it. You know, it's sort of such a weird one. Katie's just said, yes, jump in.
Do we acknowledge Steph? Is Steph there yet?
Yeah, Steph, are you Are you there? You just...
Oh. Yeah, I was just going to listen in. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's okay. No, carry on. Feel free. Well, hello. Welcome.
How hello, you thank you.
Welcome.
Good.
Excellent. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in San Diego, California.
Of course you are. There's Katerina. There we go. Let's let Katie in here as well. So it's a bit more interesting than just having Richard all the time. Wonderful. What were we talking about? Well, Steph, feel free to jump in or feel free to mute yourself, whatever you want to do, really. But yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Where were we? Oh, Katie's there. Hello, mate. You okay?
There she is.
I'm all right. How are you? Hello.
Very good.
Just in the nick of time.
So yeah, Richard went on an extended dog walk, and so we're a little bit later than expected.
Priorities.
Yeah. So you chose not to go and hang around outside Coco in the end, then, Katie?
Well, I was literally all set to go. And I was like, I'll just rest my head here for a little bit before the next thing I know, it's hours later. I'm like, never mind.
Yeah. I was actually in London earlier in the day. I had a couple of client meetings. And so I was in sort of northwest London. And I thought, you know what? I could actually go. And my kids aren't here at the moment. I thought I could actually do it. Like, whether or not, you know, you obviously you're not going to pay like massive that much, but yeah, like I thought I could do that, but no, didn't end up happening. But there we are. Yeah, we just go on, mate.
It would have been cool, wouldn't it, if we all ended up just hanging outside Euston Station or Mornington Crescent Station, just having a party.
Yes, but I didn't even know Mornington Crescent was a real place. I thought it was just a punchline in that Radio 4 quiz.
No, yeah, it's a real place.
Just down Camden High Street, mate. Smack bang between Camden High Street and Euston.
Yeah, I don't get out much, you know me. I live vicariously through my friends. And on that note, so Richard, do you want to tell us about Coco then? How was that?
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. So I managed to get a ticket quite last minute. A kind of guest review pass thing. It was funny. I got off at Euston and it was a Wednesday night. It was a sunny day in London. It was about 5 o'clock. So there was people drinking outside. So obviously they could have been drinking for anything, but I almost felt like I could feel the atmosphere the kind of closer you got to Mornington Crescent. And then when I kind of, once you go up that main road from Euston to Mornington Crescent, it kind of opens up and they kind of branch out and there's a scattering of pubs all around and they were all kind of busy once again, you know, on a sunny day maybe, but it did feel like pretty much everyone was there to the gig at Coco, to be honest. Went to Strathaven, Strathaven, I can't remember what it's called now. Met up with Kyle from the ACG. For a couple, well, not just Kyle, there was like, I think Noel O'Connell was there and there's a couple of other lads from the Oasis Collectors group whose names I forget now. Apologies if you're listening. Had a drink there and then went into the gig, watched support act Joel Stoker, who's the frontman from the Rifles, who was quite good. He was really good actually. But I was kind of basically flitting around the kind of the venue then, thinking, right, I want to grab my t-shirt, I want to grab a bit of merch, I want to go and get a drink, and I want to get a good spot for the gig. And then did all that, and then your man came on. There were chants of Liam shout started probably pretty much as soon as Joel Stoker put his guitar down. It was like, Liam! Do you know what I mean? That shout you get, that shout we're all very familiar with, that one. And you could feel it kind of ramping up. Obviously, it was getting busier, which obviously always helps the atmosphere at a venue, but you could feel it kind of ramping up. And then, Eye of the Resurrection, the Man City Champions chant, Bucking in the Bushes, boom, you know where you're at. But what was great, obviously, is that Bonehead came out. First doors, and that was seeing some posts on social media that he was there, so presumably he might show his face. But yeah, he came out straight from the bat and did we're open with Morning Glory, and then it was Rock and Roll Star, and he was there for that. And that was good enough for me. That would have made the night anyway, just to see him back and by Liam's side. Liam kind of gave him a shout out of, you know, big round of applause for him, and then off we went into a raucous pint flinging Liam Gallagher gig.
See, I from the some of the posts I saw, maybe I'm mainly focusing on the Are You Experienced one. But yeah, I thought it looked pretty quiet actually on a couple of them. But then I saw a couple of others where you do it. It is pint flinging and people all over the place. But
it's quite. I mean, it wasn't quiet during Morning Glory and Rock and Roll Star. Do you know what I mean? For the opening couple of tracks, and then Stand By Me was very anthemic. Slide Away got a big response. Roll With It went pretty nuts. At Roll With It, it's the first song of the encore. Wonderwall and Live Forever. Obviously, you can imagine how they went down. Mm-hmm. Got to say, I think I'm at the stage now where I'm rather see Liam Gallagher tunes than Oasis tunes at a Liam gig. Kind of get to that point a bit now. Even though Liam does mix it up, like I don't think he's played Live Forever this tour. Well, for a couple of years, or I can't remember exactly, but that was kind of quite a new edition, but it's not a new edition, is it? Do you know what I mean? It comes and goes out of the sets. I'm very surprised Roll With It has been maintained. And I'm really happy because that's kind of reinvigorated an unheralded classic from what I think is an underrated album. And that kind of stayed the course. But I preferred solo material, to be honest. And, you know, Wall of Glass was well received. Shopware was well received. I think it was pretty consistent throughout, but it was a mixed age crowd, obviously, because it was only 1,500 tickets, and it was, you know, it's not like when I saw Liam in Cardiff last year, where it was a very young crowd, and I imagine kind of some of the other gigs last year, this was obviously quite a select audience, but yeah, they went for it. There was no lack of enthusiasm from the crowd, even for a Wednesday night.
Yeah, and it looks like the only surprises really was Paper Crown was back, and that was like an acoustic-y version, right? And then I love Paper Crown, so that was really nice. So I was pleased to see that back. And then this cover of Are You Experienced, which I'm not a big fan of that tune. Like, I like a lot of Hendrix, but to be honest, if I'm going to listen to that Hendrix album, I've kind of given up by the last track, because like I find it gets a bit much. And so I'm more of a Hendrix best of than the listen to individual album sort of person. And yeah, so Are You Experienced is not a track I've listened to a lot. And I thought it was a strange choice because it's kind of a one chord kind of drone song, and you really need really impressive. Well, it's Jimi Hendrix you need to make it amazing. And his band is not Jimi Hendrix, is not the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And also the way Hendrix sings, I don't think it really particularly suits Liam's voice. You know, it's sort of the soulful kind of, but well, he's not really a brilliant, he's sort of a mixture of kind of a soul singer and like a Bob Dylan chatter. I've always sort of put Jimi Hendrix as. And so I thought, strange choice. Obviously, I've only heard the sort of crappy bootleg recordings, but obviously no one knew the song. So it was sort of, yeah. But to me, it felt like a strange choice, and maybe one that will disappear out of the set list, similar to how Love Will Tear Us Apart has done for Knowles. What do you reckon?
I mean, there's a reason no one covers Hendrix. And that's because obviously the axemanship that no one could even come near. So there's a reason no one does that. But for what it was, do you know what I mean? It wasn't intended to be a faithful cover. You know, if I think if you're going to do a cover, put your own stamp on it, which I definitely think they did. So I don't think, I almost think it's a fruitless argument kind of comparing the two, especially when it's someone like as unique as Hendrix. But like, it's not like the Oasis version of My Generation, which is basically the same song. Do you know what I mean? But they've kind of copied it as faithfully as they can. This was kind of very much a different interpretation. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I'm always up for something different. As I say, I think it ties in with the Nebworth promotion thing that he does on Champagne Supernova, which no one is going to convince me otherwise of now. As to whether it will stay, who knows? You know, might be a one-off thing. I mean, he's, you know, it's like the Natural Mystic, wasn't it? And yeah. Ayla, I mean, he might be one of those songs that's kind of every once in a blue moon he's kind of added to the repertoire. But yeah, you're right, the crowds didn't know it, which did end things on a quieter note. But then after you've done, you know, Wonderwall well with it and Live Forever, you could do with a breather, do you know what I mean? Mm. So that was quite appreciated. But yeah, I enjoyed it, but I can see why it's not to the purist's taste, put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, it was a strange choice. If you're gonna do a Hendrix, I don't know, you know, there's the like Fire or something like that, you know, that would have been great. Or you know, Purple Haze or something like that. Yeah, I know that's a bit more of a big obvious tune, and you can really hear it, going back and listening to the original I You Experienced, it was like, oh yeah, you can tell that was probably on the tour bus in like the 2000s, because a lot of the later Oasis sound is just so much like that, isn't it? It's that stompy beat and a lot of that sort of psychedelic-y guitar sound is very much sounds like 2000s Oasis. So yeah, I reckon that's been a big track for him for years. And I didn't notice, but that, what was it, the Stone Beautiful line is a great shout.
Necessarily stoned, but beautiful.
Great shout, great spot. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that's interesting. Katie, how are you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Sorry, I just accidentally pressed screen share. I don't know if that's done anything on your end.
No, no, it's fine.
I don't know what that was.
You're about to share a PowerPoint presentation with us or something.
No.
That's fine. Well, do you want to share some of your memories? So you've seen Noel recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I saw him at Brighton on the Beach. I actually did a voice note for you when I was there, because before he came on, I arrived around the time that the choral were on. And at that point, the atmosphere was so strange. Were you there, Richard?
No, I was actually, I went to Crystal Palace, and then I could have gone to the Brighton gig, but no, I did. I didn't. Well, it was my birthday the following days, basically. And I'd done Noel, then Pole on the Saturdays. So I was kind of like, yeah, it's my birthday on the Monday, and we have plans. So I'm glad I missed the weather, though. It looked like it was horrendous.
Yeah, it was really. That was where, like, when I started recording that voice note, at that point, there were loads of seagulls up ahead, like low flying. It wasn't high flying birds, it was low flying birds, like literally skimming our heads. And they looked pretty angry as well, because there was like this raging wind and you could hear the sea sort of really, like, it felt quite stormy almost, and it was raining. And I thought any minute now, all these birds are just going to shit on our heads. And that's when I started recording. I can still send it to you, James, if you want. I was just, you can hear the sound of like people like in the shingle beach. And I was getting really worried that people were getting drunk and they were going to start throwing these things around, throwing rocks and stuff, because people were slipping on the rocks because the rain was getting on it. It was a bit slippery. And I started to think, oh, this might turn out to be quite dangerous. So it was
brilliant. I'll record it for the Oasis podcast. if you're gonna get killed at a Noel gig, then at least it'll be make good content for me. Fantastic. Thanks. Thanks for thinking of
it. It's the Joe Wiley at the Newcastle gig thing, isn't it? It's like, yeah. Just happily recorded a disaster.
Hi James, just sending you a voice note from Brighton on the Beach, where I've arrived, and I just thought I'd send you a voice note because I wanted to share the fact that it's such a stressful venue. You can probably hear it in the background, like the sound is really creepy because
you can hear like a backdrop of raging waves and stormy skies and wind that is so loud with this music that is like playing over it, but you can't quite hear it. And in the meantime, there's all these rocks and people are throwing them and jumping in them and slipping on them. And if you can picture it, loads of seagulls up ahead, flying really, really low, ready to shit on everyone, I think.
Yeah, it was very much like that at the start. And then I thought, like, there was ages to go, so I queued up for it to get a hot chocolate. And it was this really bizarre thing because of the way the food stalls were, it cut across the crowd. So it was like you had to, people coming into the venue had to cut through this queue for the coffee. And it was going really far back. And that queue took, it took me about like an hour and a half just to get this hot chocolate. But it actually turned out all right, because it, if I wasn't doing that, I'd just be standing there in the cold waiting for Noel anyway. So that was fine.
I'm at Brighton on the beach. It's about 7:30. It's now starting to pour with rain. The sea is right to the right of me, absolutely raging. The sky looks like it's about to start thunder and lightning. There are seagulls up ahead that are frankly very angry and look like they're going to shit on everyone any second now. And people are getting kind of weirdly, it's a weird sort of drunk, because I think probably about 2 o'clock this afternoon everyone was a happy drunk. I think like it's starting to become the kind of drunk where people are starting to pick up rocks on the beach and throw them. At the moment it's all a bit ha ha ha, but I think I'm not too sure that this is actually safe. Also just queued about an hour just for a coffee, so that's a sort of summary of what it's like here. The vaccines are currently actually on stage and I can't really hear it very well. The sound that you can hear right now is how it sounds. I mean, it doesn't really sound like I'm at a live concert. It sounds like I've just decided to go outside for no reason in the rain whilst listening to a hi-fi in the background. I'm currently standing here with my hood on and I'm cold. Well, Noel will be on in about an hour and a half, so probably by then everything will be great again.
By the time Noel came on, the atmosphere changed completely. He had this really nice music just before he came on stage. I don't know what it was, but it was really like vibey. It kind of had a nice beat to it and people were getting really like het up and energized. And then the gig was brilliant. But the thing that I thought was absolutely gorgeous was the set behind, like the artwork. I don't know who is doing it, but it's absolutely stunning. And like with every song, they had a different backdrop. They had like the moon and the water for Dead in the Water. Then they had like butterflies coming out of stuff. Oh, I can't remember which song it was. But I thought that was so impressive. I've not seen such a display in the background before for Noel. And he was in really good spirits. He seemed really happy, like just joking around. He was like abusing everyone, but in a really nice way. Standard Noel way, telling everyone their shit. But like everyone, it was kind of like a bit like pantomime. We were kind of like expecting it. And then there were loads of people who hadn't got tickets who were standing at the top of the like the pier looking over. They all got like a free concert and Noel spotted them And he was like, oh, I can't believe you've all like jibbed your tickets. yeah, so it was really good. It was fun. And I couldn't believe he played Master Plan, which was brilliant. Yeah. He did loads of Oasis songs, not that many from Council Skies. He kept out all the Heartbreak songs from Council Skies.
Yeah.
And then he went back to, I think I mentioned this to you, Richard, didn't I? He went back to the second album and first album, and he seemed to do the more lovey-dovey songs. I thought that was really interesting. I don't know what that was about, but yeah, he seemed in really good spirits.
I think the reemergence of If I Had a Gun is quite surprising, bearing in mind what we know of his personal life. But I think as I said, it's UK, I'm now listening to that song going, oh, it's actually a Heartbreak song. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what's the lyric? Waiting for the moment for my heart to be unbroken at the seams. I don't know what we were ever thinking that was a love song. It was a breakup song. He just used it every time. we can't go back as well, I think is a...
Yeah, that was the biggest one to have sort of been resurrected, I suppose, wasn't it? You know, we can't go back. And then, and then obviously Going Nowhere, which his BR has been playing in America, but that was back in. And then Quinn the Eskimo, Mighty Quinn, instead of Love Will Tear Us Apart for the cover.
Yeah, I must admit, I thought he was going to drop Love Will Tear Us Apart when he was in the States, because, I mean, I'm sure it's, I don't know what Joy Division, how people know Joy Division in the States, obviously, I suppose if they know New Order, they're going to know that song by Joy Division. I thought it wasn't necessarily going down very well for American crowds, but yeah, it seems to have been dropped completely, didn't happen, never to be done again.
Good. All right. Well,
Did he have flowers all over the stage as well in Brighton?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I didn't know what that was about, but they were nice.
You should make the comparison, obviously, but I was stood whilst I was waiting for Liam the other night and was like, saw the, you know, the rock and roll flags draped over the organ, and you've got the Adidas Spezial sign and stuff. And it's like, that's very familiar now, isn't it? And similarly, I suppose with Noel, obviously, you've got the Man City flag draped. I don't know why he's bringing that cardboard cutout Pep Guardiola out. Like, that seems a bit much, to be honest. That seems to be taking the band a little bit too far, sorry. But yeah, it was adorned in roses and, you know, don't want to say that's a reference to Don't Look Back in Anger, but it was a similar kind of vibe, like all the instruments were covered in roses, well, flowers, I don't know if they're roses or not. And yeah, and which similarly worked really well with, as you were saying, Katie, the backing visuals and stuff. It was, like you say, I wasn't kind of expecting it to be that kind of visually engaging.
That's interesting. Yeah. And what about, sorry, Katie, go on.
No, I was just saying it was stunning. That was it.
And so, Richard, you saw Noel at Crystal Palace?
Yes. Yeah.
Crystal Palace. How was that?
It was good. I mean, yeah, not wholly different from what Katie described, to be honest, but we were blessed. We had a much nicer day. Name drop Clang. I've interviewed the Coral last week, and they said, James Skelly, the singer, said that at the Brighton gig, he was worried about the lighting was falling on his head. He said that he couldn't really enjoy the gig because he was too worried about the wind and all the lighting kind of falling on. It sounds like it was awful. But yeah, Crystal Palace. Yeah, Johnny Marr was main support, who was fucking great because he's Johnny Marr, and why wouldn't he be? And then Noel. I imagine pretty much the same set. It was a run of kind of Council Skies tunes, and then it was, as Katie mentioned, a couple of older tunes. We're On Our Way Now, which stuck, which I was surprised about. I know he played it last year, but I didn't think that I'd make the cut this tour, but so it is. And then, I think he's dropped his kind of thing of like covering an older Oasis song per tour. Do you know what I mean? Like in Stop Crying Your Heart Out, and he did Go Let It Out, and Supersonic, the first tour. Like, you know, making a Liam Sung song his own. This was all, I think I'm right in saying, apart from Going Nowhere, as you said, it's nonsense. But yeah, Going Nowhere is the new kind of Oasis cover. And then the rest is all kind of the importance of being idle, the Master Plan, little by little, et cetera, all stuff you know. But I think I presume the reason he's brought Going Nowhere back is it kind of ties into the reflective mood he was kind of in when he was playing Council, when he was writing Council Skies and, you know, covering Love Will Tear Us Apart as his first song he learned on guitar, you know, the first song he learned, that kind of thing. So I suppose that kind of taps into the kind of reflective mood. But yeah, similarly, he was on good form. He was giving the crowd stick when, as he does before he did What Life, he was like, right, there's all Man City fans everywhere. Cue massive boos. And he reeled off every single London Premier League team, apart from Chelsea, which I think he pointed out on Matt Morgan's podcast. But he was like, what are you talking about? We're the champions. Crystal Palace are shit. Fulham are shit. Blah, 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 blah. He went through every single one. It's like, is he going to go like QPR? You know, is he going to go further down the league? Because he seemed to be really, but he was in good. I think that kind of reflected. He was in good spirits. He enjoyed it. Gave the crowd a little bit of shit about not buying Council Skies. I think the scars of being number two in the album charts probably than he'd be prepared to admit. But similar to Kate. He was on very, very celebratory. He was on very good form. Delivered.
I was just going to mention. I was really impressed with Jess. I don't know if you thought the same, Richard. Like, she seems to have been given like a lot more to do. I was quite amazed at how much Noel kind of shared with her. Like, she was doing a lot of the vocals and a lot of the keyboards, more than what I remember last time, and it seems like he's really trusting her to kind of take it away and do what she wants to do with it. And yeah, I haven't heard her mentioned much, but I just thought she was great.
I agree, she takes a lot of BVs. I suppose she's maybe doing the work of two people now on the keys, because Charlotte's not there anymore, obviously, and to a lesser extent YZ, but because no one could replicate what YZ does. But yeah, she seems very much kind of a fixture of the band now. She's kind of like, as much as Russ or Gem is, she's kind of like a part of the core band. Seems to be really impressed. Like, she was bossing it.
Like, even when they did the breakdowns, the smaller band, when they did other bits recently, she's still in there now. She's part of the core. If you're going to strip away the backing singers, strip away whatever else, she's in the core sort of four or five now, isn't she? All right. Well, look, it's three. So we're less than a minute. So I think it's about to die. But I think I'm okay, to be honest. So, yeah.
You've got what you need, mate. That's fine. You've
got what we need.
I'll send you the voice note.
That'll be great. And we'll cut it in. But and Steph, thank you for lurking in the background. Enjoy San Diego.
Cheers, Steph.
Thank you. Bye.
All right.
See you
cheers,
nice
guys.
See you, mate.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, thank you very much to Katie and Richard and to Steph for lurking in the background. Really good to catch up with the guys and all good fun. Right, let's now move on to some messages I've had. So Sean, who's a good friend of the show and has been on before, is in a band and he's got some new music out. So here's a little message from Sean and a bit of the track.
Kia ora, James. Sean here from Search for Yeti. Just want to say thanks very much for your support of our debut single, Red.
I never knew so much thread in this world. Sometimes I barely hold it in. Sometimes I don't. Seems out of my skin. And I am older than you.
So thank you very much, Sean, for pinging that over. So that is Search for Yeti, and they're from New Zealand. You can check them out, searchforyeti.nz. So there you go. Right, next up we have had a review of an old gig from Brendan.
Hi, James. I'm a long-time listener of the Oasis podcast. Thank you very much for doing all the episodes and a huge amount of effort. Just really enjoy looking forward to every episode and learning constantly new things. So keep up the good work. So basically I wanted to send a message in about our experience. Me and my girlfriend, we travelled from Belgium. We live in Belgium, went across to the UK recently for Noel's concert in Audley Inn House. The Heritage Life Festival. Just wanted to point out a few things. For we arrived there in the morning, terrible British weather as usual. We arrived there I think around 10 o'clock, and surprisingly as we got to the car park we could hear from the distance. He was actually doing a sound check and going through all his new stuff. Like, first one I heard from a long distance away was Pretty Boy. As we got closer he was going through Counts of Skies and Open the Door, See What You Find. So he's playing basically all his new stuff, and then he only went through a couple of Oasis songs. Heard The Master Plan, heard him going through the intro, you know, just fiddling around a little bit, singing very, very quiet, and then straight into the chorus. He just went a little bit into the verse, straight into the chorus. So it was interesting just hearing him go through the sound check. Obviously he didn't play Don't Look Back in Anger. I think he could play that in his sleep, really, to be honest. But yeah, so just after we seen the house and the gardens, it was terrible weather, so we just sort of went back to Saffron Walden, I think it's called, the town really close by. I think it's not even a mile away. And we just had to kill some time. Wasn't going to stand in the rain, you know, too long. We really wanted to just get there as late as possible, but still see the support acts, which were pretty good, by the way. So we got in there. It was just, yeah. Long story short, really enjoyable. We got up quite close, and we're trying to get up close enough so he could potentially read a sign that we actually had made. We actually thought about it a few months ago, and I said to my girlfriend, should we do it or shouldn't we do it? And she was really, full credit to her, she was more really into it than me, even though I'm the bigger fan. But yeah, so we got two signs made up. The first one was originally Noel, I've Got a Cherry Right from Half the World Away, which I knew he'd be playing in his set list, and that was just too tiny, I think, because I seen him looking in the first couple of songs. He was looking our way when we had the sign up, or my girlfriend was holding it and I was trying to help hold it up, and he just, I don't think he, or he, at the time we thought he was ignoring it or just couldn't read it or whatever, but then it got too wet and it almost couldn't hold up anymore, so we had another sign which just said Noel Cherry Ripe, and after What a Life, and I call it the Manchester City song, when he talks about anyone a Manchester City supporter, what a life. After that, he started talking to the crowd, and I don't know if you can maybe show a little bit of audio. But yeah, just caught his intention, surprisingly, because you never know with Noel whether he's going to react or not. And yeah, he was actually a bit flabbergasted. Like, he's like, oh, cheeky, Cherry Ripe, you know. And yeah, so it was interesting to get that reaction. And then he went straight in and played a beautiful acoustic song, Dead in the Water, which we both really love anyway, but now we love it even more as a special meaning.
Who here hasn't had their teeth whitened? There's about 60 of them. So it's true what they say. I can't read that sign, mate. I have no idea what it said. Cheeky what? Cheeky. Yes. Cherry right. The bollocks. Have you got some? How many have you got? 1,000. Two?
We got time.
Two?
We got time.
Come in boxes of 12.
But yeah, and you know, I enjoy playing that on the guitar myself as well. But yeah, just the master plan, he played one of my favorite songs in the set list. So yeah, just all in all, it was a really enjoyable evening. The British weather turned it on massively as always. But yeah, it was just everyone was in good spirits, and it was really, really a good evening. So first experience to see Noel in the flesh, and it was, you know, I'd go and see him again very quickly. So other than that, yeah, I just want to say I'm a long-time Oasis fan, you know, like, and it's just amazing what you do on the podcast and the interest that you do create. So keep up the good work, and I hope anyone else who was at the concert enjoyed it as much as we did. And yeah, if anyone maybe doesn't already know what a Cherry Ripe is, it's actually a chocolate that I enjoy eating myself as well. And he asked in the concert, how many you got? And we said two. And I thought, if I can give it to him personally, I'll give it two to him. But it wasn't the case, you know, you couldn't get close to him. Even with the sound check, we asked to get near him. I said to the photographer that took our photo, I said, when it got the attention from Noel during the concert, I said, listen, can you get up close to him or give it to his management? And he promised me that I'll try and give it to him or I'll eat it myself. He said, sort of tongue in cheek. So let's just hope, hope Noel got it. And if not, I had one for myself. I enjoyed it after the concert, waiting in the car park to try and get out of the place because it was absolutely chockers. So, but yeah, that's all I want to say. So thank you very much.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you, Brendan. Thanks very much for sending that over. And yeah, great work. I do love it when people bring signs and then Noel comments on them. And it is good. You know, he's such a witty guy, isn't he? And it's clever, you know, coming up with something clever like that, pulling from an interview that he said he liked a certain type of chocolate. It's just a very smart sign. So I'm really pleased that you got that little moment. Let's hope he did get to munch on that chocolate. Yeah, and there we go. So we go from New Zealand to Australia via Belgium. That's the multicultural experience that is the Oasis podcast. Right, one more here. This is Ollie Ford.
Hey, James. I'm just laying here reflecting on Noel's gig at Crystal Palace last night. And I thought I'd drop you a note just to tell you about it. It was phenomenal, actually. An amazing evening. Johnny Marr opened and he was brilliant, of course. The reaction to the Smiths songs, including Panic and There Is A Light and Never Goes Out, was quite incredible. Really, really, you could see the audience was so pumped. And he's just so cool and looked so cool and played so well. And he really set the scene perfectly. And then half an hour later, Noel trooped out with the band that we're really familiar with now. So great to see Gem on stage. And they opened with Pretty Boys, which really surprised me how much the audience knew it. So it really opened the show well. Everyone was singing along and the place went nuts. And then it was just an unbelievably good set list. So he whittled through quite a few Council Sky songs. The reaction to all of them was incredible. So everyone knew all the words to them and they really worked. And I think sounded better live. And I love the album. I really do. But Pretty Boy, Council Sky, Easy Now, they all sounded phenomenal played live. And he was in such good voice the whole way through. Dead in the Water. Oh my God, what a moment. Beautiful backdrop to it while he was singing it. We're on Our Way Now. And then he did Master Plan and he did Importance of Being Idle and Little by Little. In a way, I would have preferred not to have had Half the World Away and Little by Little and a couple more High Flying Bird songs because they were hitting the spot. Really, really a phenomenal reaction to them. And everyone knew all the words. And that really impressed me. And then his banter was so funny. At one point, he was having a go at London football teams, getting really booed by 15,000 people while he did it. So he was going, Arsenal was shit, Tottenham was shit, Crystal Palace is shit, then pointed at the booing crowd, you're shit. And then at one point, he asked if anyone was from Manchester, and that got a boo. And he went, all right, you ill-eating cons. And that's making me laugh every time I think about it. The final two songs, Live Forever, in that beautiful version that we are, Radio 2. It's so really, really beautiful. And then he did a mental version of Don't Look Back in Anger, mental in that the crowd just went insane. And it was the only time that he played the guitar solo. So I enjoyed watching that as well. And it was note perfect, unlike that funny clip that's doing the rounds. Phenomenal gig, the best I've seen him, and one of the best times I've seen him, and that includes the Oasis gigs I saw. He looked amazing, the band sounded tip-top, Gem played a blinder, and really good. So I saw Weller and Blur last week, Johnny Marr and Oasis this week. So I'm having a pretty good summer, because they were all phenomenal. Just thought I'd let you know the thoughts on the gig. Thanks so much for the podcast, mate. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Thank you, Ollie. Good work, mate. Pleased you enjoyed the gig and Johnny Marr and the other bits and pieces you've gone. What a mad summer it's been, eh? As I said, I haven't seen Liam and all the summer, but seeing Blur was very, very special. All right, stop the clocks. We've got another message here. This is our very good friend Ryan Harvey. Now, he went down to Bournemouth to see Noel and also got in. He was one of the ones that managed to get in at the sound check, which I saw online. I was very jealous about. But yeah, great stuff. And I wanted to hear about it. And Ryan has sent us this message.
Hi, JC. This is Ryan Harvey at the Harvey Boys reporting for the pod. So to add to the live reviews, so we went to see Noel Gallagher at the Bournemouth O2. So this was the Absolute Radio O2 gig that was added. I've been to the night at Shepherd's Bush Empire in 2012 at the end of his first tour that he did. I missed the 2015 one, but I went to the O2 Ritz in Manchester. So I was kind of really keen when this gig got announced a few weeks before it to go to that one, so just to see him in a small venue. So I think it's one of the, maybe the only chance again on this tour, or at least for a while. So I managed to get three tickets for me and my two teenage lads. So they're 16 and 14, and we basically were up in near Manchester way, so it was a long, long trip down. Left in the morning on the train, made it all the way down to Bournemouth through London, taking about 7 hours, and then we basically started the queue at around 1 o'clock, so I was determined to get down the front, which is what I'd done for the one at the Shepherd's Bush Empire, and it's kind of a, you know, whole different experience, unforgettable experience to be down the front on the barrier. So that was the plan. We managed to do it. We got down there for about midday-ish, and we pretty much started the queue at 1, but then we went around the back. So the Bournemouth O2 Academy is a former nightclub that's on kind of a high street in between a McDonald's and a Ladbrokes. So a small old theatre building. Again, it's like 1,800 capacity. And we went around the back. It's in between like a shopping centre. There was an alleyway. And then we saw the security and Phil Smith popping in and out. There was very quickly about sort of 30 to 40 people congregated there with things to sign, hoping to get a glimpse of Noel and the band. Eventually the security said that they weren't there yet, so we sort of hung, one of my lads stayed around the front at the start of the queue so we could secure our place on the barrier, and we were hanging around the back. And then eventually around maybe 2:30, Phil Smith came out and said, look, we're going to let you into the sound check. So anybody that's here now, you can come in the sound check. But don't phone your friends. Don't put it on Instagram, whatever. Like, literally, if you're here now, you come in. That's it. I managed to message my son, who just made it to run round the back. The three of us went in with about, it seemed to be about 50 people. Got into the sound check, so they sort of ushered us in. And Noel was, and the band were on stage, along with Matt Morgan as well, was there just checking things out, and they sort of had us be quiet. Phil Smith was going around telling us not to applaud between songs, which everybody ignored. It just was an impulse. So they played 5 songs. Phil Smith gave out a raft of set lists, so like the sound check set list. We actually didn't get one because we ended up right at the front of the queue, and he missed us, so I didn't get one of those, which was annoying. But someone's going to send me a copy at least for the memory. And then they said Noel would sign stuff, so we just needed to queue, and we ended up basically right at, because we were on the side of the venue, and ended up at the front of the queue. So Noel, before you knew it, Noel literally had come off stage. They played 5 songs in the sound check, including Lock All the Doors was one of them. Can't remember the others right now, but then Noel walked in, and he literally walked across the dance floor, as it was, eye to eye with me, and at that moment sort of froze, and I didn't have my phone out already or anything like that, so he came across. I just sort of said thank you and joked slightly about him taking my pen, which he did. So I got him to sign my Back the Way We Came sort of deluxe CD as a small thing to carry. I didn't want to carry a vinyl and get it wrecked on the train and things. So he signed that. He signed my son's. We had a Funko Pop, Noel Funko Pop. And before we knew it, in a flash, it was done, and we didn't really have a photo of us with him, which is slightly disappointing. But then the security guy, who was the O2 venue guy, was getting a bit over anxious and sort of dragged us out. But then I think it did get a bit calmer as Noel made his way up. And there were quite a few Oasis Collectors Group people who got stuff signed. I've been chatting to a couple of them since. Aaron and Paul Fellows, who's done this amazing artwork of Noel's guitar and things. Which we sort of found out after who people were, but we didn't really know when we were all stood outside. But my son, my elder son, had actually left the sound check just before the last song, just to run around and get our position back in the queue, which we did. Once we were in, we did the dash to the front. So there was some chaos around O2 priority and the disabled queue getting let in first, things like that. So there was a few people, it was all a bit antsy about whether we'd get our spot on the barrier, but we did, just to the right of Noel. They just sort of played music. It was like a DJ. They said DJ, but they were just playing music, because I think the main thing of this gig was to film it for YouTube. We haven't seen it coming out yet, but I presume it will do. Amazing venue, and basically to be on the barrier with my two lads, eye to eye with Noel and Gem. We were basically in front of Gem and in front of Mike Rowe on the keyboards. Sharon's going around photographing. Amazing night. And to be that close is just a different world of an experience. So we're definitely worth the journey and staying over, and all the cost involved, and the unique experience of getting into the sound check, seeing a 5-song sound check. They didn't speak to us at all. It was just they had a set 5 songs, ran through that, and it was all good.
And then the signing was just a surreal, very quick moment. And I think quite a few people had a little bit longer moment with him. So brilliant gig. Was Matt Morgan was stood at the side of the stage, and I'd listened to the podcast on the way down that they'd released the morning before, where they were talking about, you know, Nico going to Brighton, which was the day before, and Matt, etc. So they were there. They'd been there the night before. I haven't had a chance to listen to all those podcasts yet, the new one and Nico's. It sounds like Nico and Matt ended up at Noel's house, or at least Matt did anyway, playing guitar with Noel and getting wasted or whatever else they were doing. And then, but Matt Morgan was there in Bournemouth, sort of hungover at the side of the stage, with lots of banter around that. Quite a lot of people shouting for Matt, and yeah, that was one unique element.
Matt Morgan. Ooh, Matt Morgan. But there he is.
Yeah, otherwise the, you know, the standard set list. I think the importance of being idle was an addition, a recent addition in the last couple of gigs, or maybe even that gig and the gig before. So it's good to hear that again. But then things like, you know, Dead in the Water, Little by Little, just brilliant sing-alongs. The new songs in a live experience, just love them. So even like Council Skies, which wasn't initially a big fan of, but just in a gig you're just there singing away, so just Noel has that effect, I think, with his songs. And lots of banter, which you've seen, which I put various clips up on YouTube and things like that. So all in all, loved it. And we're off to Withenshaw, which I was what I'd originally booked, and then obviously this Bournemouth thing came up, this small gig came up as usual after, so I sort of doubled down on the ticket buying, unfortunately. But I am now pretty buzzed for Withenshaw anyway, because that will be a whole different thing, a big sing-along, big crowd, etc. So we'll be going to that. So hope that's okay, and see you soon, JC.
Brilliant stuff, Ryan, as ever. And I can hear the crickets chirping there. I think it's because he's on holiday somewhere very wonderful. So we're all very jealous of that. But well done, Ryan. Great stuff. All right. Well, look, that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we post additional bonus episodes, and we have the link to the Discord, and it's just great if you can support me. It's always appreciated. So head over there and check that out. Give us a follow on YouTube, give us a like on social media, over on X, as it is known now, other than Twitter, Oasis Podcast. I did set up a Threads, but I don't think I'm going to do anything on that. So you can give me a follow on Threads if you want, at Oasis Pod, which is where also I am on Instagram. So go and give us a follow over there. Obviously, if you want to drop over a message on reviewing the Nebworth album, or if you want to give us your thoughts on the recent Noel tour or whatever you want to, drop me an email, oasispod@gmail.com, and I'll drop it in. But other than that, thank you very much for listening. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. Unshakable.